Ask me if that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. All about missions, all about giving, all about sending. Giving, sending, they all work together, you know. And I don't usually share things on the lighter side, but I'm just going to give a brief thing here. You know, we have a lot of the things that we do today are passed on from generations before. And so they just kind of get passed down the way. And, you know, there's a reason why most people get married in June. Yeah, that's known as the bridal month. And this tradition started back in the 1500s. And back in that day, most people got married in June because they took their yearly bath in May. And they were still smelling pretty good by June. However, they were starting to smell, so the brides carried a bouquet of flowers to hide the B.O. You didn't know that. Also, in the 1500s, baths equaled a big tub filled with hot water. The man of the house had the privilege of the nice, clean water. Then all the other sons and men. Then finally, the women, the children, and last of all, the babies. By then, the water was so dirty you could actually lose someone in it. And that's where the saying came from, don't throw the baby out with the... See, you didn't know that before. You're going to leave here so smart you can hardly stand yourself. The floor was dirt. Only the wealthy had something other than dirt. Hence came the saying, dirt poor. The wealthy had slate floors, which would get slippery in the winter when wet, so they spread thresh on the floor to keep their footing. As the winter wore on, they kept adding more thresh until you opened the door and it would all start slipping outside. So they put a piece of wood in the door, in the entry, and that's what they call the... Very good. Indeed, that's where that came from. And they cooked in the kitchen in a big kettle that always hung over the fire. Every day they lit the fire and added things to the pot. They mostly ate vegetables and didn't get much meat. They would eat the stew for dinner, leaving leftovers in the pot to get cold overnight and then start over the next day. Sometimes the stew had food in it that had been in it for a month. Hence comes the rhyme, peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot. Yeah. Aren't you loving this? This is just grand. Sometimes they could obtain pork and would feel really special when that happened, and when company came over, they would bring out some bacon and hang it to show it off, and it was a sign of wealth that a man could really bring home the... Yeah, see, that's... And they would cut off a little to share with the guests and would all sit around and chew the... Yeah. See where that all comes from? And one more little thing here. The bread was divided according to status, and workers got the burnt bottom of the loaf, and the family got the middle, and the guests got the top or the upper crust. Yeah. Amen. Okay, so now I've given you some things to take with you when you leave. Amen and amen. Well, you know, we're in here, both young and old alike. And in other words, God uses the young And he uses the not so young, and then he uses the old to do his work. I mean, after all, if God can use the young, that's a miracle. And if God can use the old, hey, that's the miracle. Yeah, it's we're all potential miracles. And, you know, we could be the talk of the town. We could actually be the talk of the state of Iowa. Or we could be the talk of the country. You hear about that church over there in Council Bluffs? I mean, they got a hold, God got a hold of them in missions giving, and boy, I'm telling you, they're just busting at the seams. We could be, and that's, hey, that's God just simply spreading what He can do with God's people if God's people are submitted, yielded to the Lord, all right? Having a tender heart and open and receptive to God, Lord, tell me anything you want to tell me and I'll hear it. I'll respond, I'll do your will. And so, you know, we always have our own problems. Have you ever noticed that? I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't have any problems. Anybody here doesn't have any problems? I'll let you raise your hand if you'd like to. That would be fine. But we all do, right? Problems, it could be finances, it could be health. You just name it. It's there somewhere. Some of us a little more than others in different areas, but we've got our own problems, and usually our problems are bigger than the rest of the world. Isn't that how that comes out? Ain't nobody's problems bigger than mine. Yeah, and they just, the weight just simply bears down upon us. So when we come to a missions conference, hey, you know, sometimes we don't have time for this. I mean, I've got this I got to take care of in my own backyard. I got this to take care of. I got this to take care of. Look, if you read the Word of God, all of those things are God's problems. He takes care of those. Your responsibility is here at church. Now, if you'll notice, I got a verse for that. Over here in Matthew, if you'll turn with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I didn't plan on putting this verse in here, but your face said I needed to share that with you. So it's over here in chapter 6, and we'll look here to verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You knew that verse was there all along, didn't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, so what things are those? Well, it's right over here. In verse 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Hey, are you better than birds? Hey, you had a golden opportunity to say amen. You missed it. Hey, you've got to be better than birds. Huh? Yeah. And God feeds the birds. Right? So He feeds the birds, and means if we're better than the birds, then hey, we've got her made. Yeah, God's got all that sewed up. And you notice here in verse 27, it says, so which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Do you know what God is saying? He said, look, if you're concerned about what you're going to wear tomorrow, forget it. God said, I've got it covered. I've got it taken care of. You don't have enough money to buy next week's clothes? God said, no sweat. I know where the money's at. I know where the clothes are. I've got it covered. Do you believe God means that? Isn't that what He's saying? This is what He's saying here. This is what He's saying. But you know, we come into a missions conference and we say, you know, I don't have money to buy clothes. I don't have money to buy food. I don't have money to buy and put a roof over my head. God said, look, that's my responsibility. I do those things. I mean, isn't that what He said over here as well? It says here in verse 29, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Now, He's qualifying who it is He's talking to at the end of that verse. Any of you guilty? O ye of what? So, we got any little faithers here? Yeah, little faithers? Uh-huh. If the shoe fits, wear it. Right. If the shoe doesn't fit, wear the box. Yeah. Hey. It's all about faith. It really is all about faith. Faith, promise, giving, and God said, look, if we put her in the right order, it's going to turn out just the way it needs to take, because God said, I have the plan. This is God. Look, this is God's perfect plan. It doesn't work any other way. There is no other way that this thing works. All right? When you put God first, in other words, He said, I'll get your clothes. I get your food, I get your house, I put a roof over your head, I'll do all those things, that's my responsibility. Here's what yours is. He said in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know that is seldom worked in the average church? Why? Oh, because we're part of this group up here. Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, we're part of that. We're the little faither group. You know what I'm saying? We like to think that we've got faith. You know, I've been to churches. I preach in churches. And the church's name was Faith Baptist Church. There's a name to live up to. You know what I'm saying? Faith Baptist Church. Hey, y'all going to Faith Baptist Church? Does that mean y'all living by faith? Yeah, we'd sure like to be. I find that the pews are filled with a lot of wannabes. Yeah, you know what I mean? Christians who want to live by faith. They haven't arrived yet, but they want to be. Yeah. People who want to give to missions. Yeah. They're not giving to missions yet, but they want to. They're wannabes. You know, wannabes never live by faith. They're scared to. They're afraid. You see, this is where faith enters into the picture. When you're afraid to cross the river, It's God who takes you to the other side. It's God who takes you to the other side. You see, you can't even come before God and say, Lord, hey, count me out because I don't have anything. Wait a minute. God says, I'm just looking for a yielded vessel. All right? A yielded vessel. I want to show you a miracle that exists over here in the Old Testament, if you would please. And we're going to go here to 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings, we've been seeing some miracles in the Word of God since this missions conference got started. And there's some more. I mean, we haven't even seen them all yet. But here it is. We're in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to take you over here. We're going to start right at the top, if you would, please. In verse 1, it says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor, oh-ho, is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. See, here's the deal now, all right? This woman has her own personal issues. Now, this would be considered domestic. This would be taking care of your own backyard, all right? But she's going to go to the man of God about this thing. Smart choice on her part. She's going to go to the man of God. Why? Because she's going to go ask the Lord because this is God's responsibility. Lord, I can't pay the bills. But if you go to the Word of God, God's plan is, that's my job. So few of us see it that way. That's why so few of us pray like we need to pray. So few of us give it to God like we need to give it to God. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about taking your faith to the next level. Some of us live by faith, but it's kind of shallow, you know. And if we were to increase, well, then that would stimulate a fear with inside us. And that makes us part of that, O ye of little faith club. You see, God knows those of us who are of little faith. He wants to increase our faith. You want your faith to increase. Amen? Wouldn't it be neat if everybody stood on their feet and said, Amen! Boy, we would sound awful serious then. Hey, look, God's done everything He can to impress you. At least you can look like you're impressed. Hey, it's about you and God working a plan that is totally unexplainable to anybody around you, where that you're going to step out by faith, like this woman is asking, to get from her problems at home so she can be used of God. So here it is in verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? It's kind of an interesting question. See, he's saying, Well, what'd you come to me for? What am I supposed to do? Well, he didn't take very long to find the answer. Because it's over here that he said, Tell me, what hast thou in thine house, or in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. She said, All I've got is a pot of oil. Now that's not much. That's not a lot. But guess what? For God, that's all He needs. That's all God needs is a pot of oil. Some of you have got, I say, everybody here's probably got more than just a pot of oil at home, right? I mean, what could God do with a pot of oil? Oh, there's an answer to that. And the man of God gives instruction. Verse 3, he said, Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And in verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full. Okay, now what is she filling the empty vessels with? The pot of oil. Hey, is that a miracle? Yeah. Is God taking care of things at home? Yes. You see, you can't use problems at home as a reason why you can't give to missions. It just doesn't work. It holds no water with God. Now see, if we just did the principle thing and use what Matthew chapter 6 and the verses we read, if we use that, that's a long-standing perfect plan that God makes. He makes it work every single time. The problem with so many of God's people is they never let Him do it. They never have access to the issues in the home life. Somehow or other, we think we can do a better job than God. Our mindset is, when I can take care of my home, then I'll be able to be available for God. That's backwards. Scripturally, that's backwards. We need to come to the understanding that God said, look, your house is my responsibility, your clothes is my responsibility, your food is my responsibility, I take care of that. Hey, can God do that? Yeah, but you need to prove that. You need to prove it. It just means to say, by faith, you're going to allow God all the access that you need to Him to give to you. Because He'll make this happen in your life, and you'll see the victory. You'll see the victory. I mean, we're going to look here again at verse number 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told who? The man of God. Huh? Elisha, the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. So here it is. God is giving the answer to meet your needs. You obey Him, God takes care of you. How many times have you heard that? Forever and ever and ever. Look, aren't you getting tired of hearing it and doing nothing about it? Isn't that where it is so often? Sounds great. Love to be able to practice that. Hey, I have one of the most fantastic verses that exists in Scripture. I love it. Over here in Mark chapter 9. Notice this with me, please. In the book of Mark chapter 9. This is where it's all at as far as I'm concerned. In Mark chapter 9, and I'd like you to look with me to verse number 23. Mark 9 and verse 23. I mean, this is a verse you could just take and just put everywhere. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your wallet. Purse, whatever. But notice, it says here, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that what? Yeah. But that's if thou canst believe. Seems like that's a hill so many of us can't climb. We just can't quite believe. So we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. We come into a missions conference and we've got our wallets guarded. We've got barbed wire fence. We've got Doberman pincers. We've got guards standing at the door. We've got machetes. We've got, you name it, ain't nobody getting to my wallet. And we're going to do our best to keep God out. Yeah. Look, this missions conference is all about surrender and submission and obedience. Surrender, submission, obedience. That's where it's at. And guess what? The Word of God says, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Are you a little short on happiness? Hey, you know what I'm saying? What are you so happy about? Hey, I'm trusting God. It works just like that. God says, try it. It works every time. Every time. So the fact is, do you have the need to believe? We have the need. Do you have the desire? I want to believe. So today, as these pink cards have been passed around, they are there to challenge your faith. How much faith do you have? Say, have you checked your faithometer lately? See where it's at? Yeah. You got a little bit of faith? Maybe it's bubbling right at the middle. You know, we're known as the middle riders so often. Yeah. We're not too involved and we're not so far down. We just ride the middle. You know, that's not a safe place to be, because what if you played in the middle of the highway? You're a goner. Yeah. You think that the middle of the road is a safe place to be. That's not it at all, because that's where the devil really has his fun with you. Why? Look, you're not for or against the Lord. You're not for or against missions conferences. You're not for or against missionaries. Do you realize that if you have that position, you are against them? There is no middle road. You're going to have to either agree with your pastor about supporting missions and getting involved in reaching souls for Jesus, or you're going to have to be a bump in a pew. Just wait for the Lord to take you home and be one unhappy Christian in the process. What's the frown for? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't have much faith. I didn't give to missions. That's why I'm unhappy. Hey, that's being honest. That's being honest. Some of you are looking at me, you got this look on your face of preacher, you almost got me persuaded. I'm just not quite there yet. It's the Holy Spirit that does the persuading. I'm just glad I could be a tool that He can use. But we're talking about the difference between heaven and hell, life and death, for a people that are like you used to be, lost and on your way to hell. That's where they're at. Somehow or other, you and I need to be obedient. Obedience to give as unto the Lord. And there is the bell. Don't like bells. Especially when they say you're done. But look, do you understand God's simple principle? If you do it His way, everything works out just great. Amen. Let's